Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols and give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls, we bow our hearts. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, Lord, give us pure hearts. Let us not, amen. Oh God, let us be, oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob, oh God, let us be a amen, that seeks your face. Oh God, oh just sing that again. Yes, and God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God, let us be, yes, God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not, amen, give us clean hands, give us clean hands, Lord, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another, give us clean hands. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions in life, but I know in whom I have believed. My name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, and He knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine.
Jesus.
Amen. He made the mountains. Amen. He's in control. Let's stand and worship Him.
Of all creatures great and small.
Amen. Let's stand together. Yes, every step that I take, every move that I make,
every tear. Oh, He knows my name. And I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name.
I don't know what tomorrow may bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. Don't have all the answers to the questions in life, but I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry.
Song, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Amen. Ask Brother Tim to come at this time to open the service. Amen. How many has another desire for more of Him? Amen. Let's just sing that together and worship Him. Oh, fill my cup, Lord. I live. Come and quench this thirsting and quench
this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me.
To prayer this morning, we want to remember those that are in need. Our sister Lorianne Tushner needs a touch from God, suffering a lot of pain. Also, my daughter Lydia is with the hospital early this morning and due to have her baby any moment now. So let's just ask that God would grant her the safe arrival of the new little one. Amen. So let's just pray together. Father, we're Your children today. Having gathered in Your name. And we know that when we gather in Your name, that You would be there in our midst. Lord, to be conscious of that, to be cognizant of that, to realize the Almighty God is in our presence right now. And that we have stepped into the very presence of God and in a fellowship. And here today to hear from heaven. Here today to receive of the goodness of God, the grace of God. Knowing, Lord, that while You're present, that we can say, Lord, here's my need. Here's my cup. Here's my situation, Lord. Don't pass me by. And I pray, oh God, that every one of us will take advantage of this moment. That we'll seize the moment, realizing that we're here at the time where You're pouring out Your Spirit. that we are in the midst of the most mighty revival that there's ever been upon the face of the earth, where you're imparting to a bride your faith for the going away. I pray, oh God, that today there will be faith for deliverance. There'll be faith for healing. There'll be faith for miracles. There'll be faith, oh God, for deliverance from every situation. Lord, for our sister Lorianne, we would ask that you would bring a healing touch to her today. And Lord, for my daughter Lydia and the new baby that's being born, I just pray you'll be with them at this moment. And God, that your hand of grace and mercy would be upon mother and child. And Lord, we thank you for life. We thank you for the power of God. We thank you for the grace of God that's given to us. And we just ask, Lord, that it be applied now in this service. You'll have your way, Lord, in every part of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. The brothers in the back did want me to announce to, if you do have a special or wanting to practice or anything, to please see them first before touching any of the equipment back there. Put a lot of time into setting it up and just are protective of it. Amen. Amen. How many loves the Lord? Amen. Let's sing that song, "In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found." Amen. He's my light. He's my strength. He's my song.
In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came for to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ. Light of the world, thy darkness slain, then bursting forth, oh, in glorious day, up from the grave he rose, yes, again. And as he stands, oh, in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his. Oh, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry, oh, to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. And no power of hell, no scheme of man, oh yes, could ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home, here in the power. Amen. Let's just sing that again. No guilt in life. Oh,
Christ, the solid rock I stand. And on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is... Oh, yes, just lift your hands and worship Him.
Thinking that you'll surely drown. child, your cries has awoken the Master.
Amen. 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 If you want to hear that, child, your cries have awoken the Master. Say, Lord, I just need another touch from you this morning. Amen. You moved last night. My cry this morning, Spirit of God, move. Write your word in my heart. Amen. Let's just sing that together.
Spirit of God, move. Write your word in my heart. Fill my whole being. Consume my life. Spirit of God, move. An empty vessel I want to be, so that you can come.
Come and fill us this morning, Father. Oh, Spirit of God, move. Write your word in my heart. Fill my whole being. Lord, consume my life. Yes, Spirit of God, move. An empty vessel I want to be. So then you can come. Oh, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord, come and fill us, Father. Oh, Spirit of God, move. Oh, just lift your hands and worship Him. Write your word, Lord. Lord, fill my whole being. Yes, Father, come and consume my life. Oh, yes, Lord.
Far away. my cup again.
The word is coming forth this morning. Let the Holy Spirit just move upon your heart. Amen. Say, Lord, pour your spirit out on me. Come and saturate. My soul thirsteth after the living God. I want you, Lord, in your reality. Come and heal my heart and make me whole, oh God. Let your word, Lord, just find a resting place in me. Let it change me, oh God, today in your presence. Father, we're here gathered in your name today. We ask, Lord, now as the word comes forth, you'll deal with every heart, Lord. You'll speak directly to every soul. Lord, may every person just move aside everything else and let the word have a resting place. Father, we ask it in the name of Jesus for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brother Michael, as you lead that song again, we're going to ask Brother Ron Spencer to come and minister the word of God this morning. Amen. You know, it's a unique time. The children are in vacation Bible school and they are being ministered to on a little different level. You have a very wonderful moment to sit there and absorb the word of God and just lock in today and let the Holy Spirit just really speak to your heart. Let it really change your life. Amen. It's a moment just to take and say, Lord, there's this little situation. There's this problem in my character. There's this need that I have. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. It's me, Lord. And I'm reaching out to you today. And I'm saying, God, just come and deal with that malaria in my life. Lord, just bring me a tune where I can hear your voice. Bring me, Lord, just tune me down just a little more. Where, oh God, your word becomes preeminent in my life. Pour your spirit out on me today. Fall just like the rain. Saturate me, Lord. I see the ground and nature outside saturated with rain. But Lord, I need that saturation. I need that saturation. Come fill me, Lord. Pour your spirit out. You're pouring your spirit out on all flesh. Here's my flesh. Here's me, Lord. Pour it out on me. Fall just like the rain. Invite him to come this morning as the word comes forth. Just ask God to speak to your heart now. In Jesus' name. Brother Ron, come on, brother. Amen.
Lord, I seek you.
Help me find you.
Help me find you.
Oh, how I need your touch.
How I need
your touch. Find my dry and broken places.
Lord, find my
thirsty, the desire for the living God. Amen. Yes.
For your love.
Lord, forgive me if I want.
And Lord, forgive me.
Amen. Let me come a little closer to you today.
Come and fall afresh on.
Hallelujah. The Lord has arranged it to where He could call us away for a few days to talk to us. Sometimes it may be not a thousand people around you. He just wants to talk to you. That's when it's the greatest. It's with just you and Him. Won't you just invite Him this morning to where you're standing at? Last night, the channel became open. Our hearts were touched. And He wants to come and speak to us this morning. Would you just invite Him to where you're at? Lord, I have a need. Come to where I'm at this morning. Lord Jesus, Lord, we're just overwhelmed by Your presence, Father, today. We're so very much aware of what a great God that You are. Lord, I stand here, Lord Jesus, needing You to come and speak through human lips one more time. We've watched You so many times through life and how You came. Lord, Your timing is always perfect. Lord Jesus, I just ask You today that You would anoint the speaker. Anoint the hearers, Father. May we become aware of Your presence today. And there's many needs that are among us. And we ask You that You can minister to them today. And we thank You for this time. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen, amen, amen. You love the Lord? Isn't He good? I'd like to thank you for inviting me to come. I feel after last night's service, I feel like, oh boy. I kind of felt like sitting in that pew over there, like Brother Branham did on that corral fence. He thought he was a cowboy till he saw that horse doing that dance out there. And then he thought he was a preacher until he heard that one guy speak. And so I'm just probably going to stagger around for a little bit this morning, get you through till tonight's service. And so, amen, if you can just bear with us for just a little bit. I'd like to thank you for praying for my father-in-law, Brother Homer. And he's almost got a Superman t-shirt now. And he's doing very well. And I'd like to thank you. For those that don't know, he was ran over by his own tractor on February the 8th and crushed one of his leg, to which in a few weeks later they had to remove it. It crushed several vertebrae in his back, and they did a pretty long surgery. And then he lost 30 units of blood, and they had to open him up all the way to the front. And so it was a lot of moments to where that we just trusted the Lord. But I'd like to say that this week they measured him for his prosthetic leg, and he's looking forward to dancing on a prosthetic leg. And so he's one of those old warriors, and he's been left here for a purpose. And when he left the rehab center the other day, all of the doctors and all the nurses gathered, and they prayed with them all, and they wanted prayer, and he testified to them about baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and Godhead and no women preachers and how that you're not supposed to cut your hair and how God sent us a prophet in this day. And so while I was gone at Easter, he took a service and preached, and he said God left me here for at least one more service on be you therefore ready. Amen. And so we just are so thankful to have Sister Connie here with us today, and this is her first trip since the meeting. We also want to congratulate Brother Tim. He's got another grandbaby that's arriving sometime in the next little bit. And so I know there's some nervous hours that are going to go on, and hopefully it'll happen quickly for Sister Lydia's sake. I'm always amazed when a man says, we're having a baby. We don't have a whole lot to do with it, so God help Sister Lydia this morning that He will bring her strength. Amen. Certainly good to be here. If you will turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 this morning. I certainly appreciated the channel of the Lord that God took Brother Dwayne on last night, and I just thought it was an absolute timely masterpiece. And if you didn't get to hear it for some reason or another, go back and listen to that and listen to it again. It just was just absolutely great. Now he says it really quick. And in Virginia, we don't talk that quick, so you'll just have to forgive me. And amen. But we're still part of the South there in Virginia, too. Amen. Some would like to argue that, but we still are. But amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. You can be seated this morning. As Americans, we celebrate the last week in a Veterans Day. The reason that we can stand and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in this wonderful nation, and yes, she is rotten, and yes, there's a lot of things that is wrong with her, but she has been the nation to which that God sent the greatest message on the face of the earth. And from that message went forth men that have grabbed this message and preached it in pulpits around the world with all of their heart. And it's through the dictates of the heart that God has ministered to us and still allows us the glorious freedom of being able to stand as long as it exists, to be able to stand and preach this gospel. Some of it crosses moral conduct codes and political correctness, but yet we stand in the pulpit and declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a reason that we have this opportunity is because of precious blood of our families that has paid the cost. They have fought through foxholes and through swords and spears and Gatling guns and machine guns and atomic warfare. They have fought through a lot of enemy to stand and still to be able to speak and raise our flag and pledge allegiance to the United States of America. Whatever flag that a person is under, they pledge allegiance to that nation. Brother Branham said, I'm identified as an American in her glory, and I'm identified with her in her shame. But I'd like to raise another banner this morning. It's an ensign. Our Lord Jesus Christ walked to Calvary's Hill. And as he walked there, he did it so that you and I could be set free. The prophet of God is reading the scriptures, and I'm always thinking about his last service as he becomes to, and everything is just orchestrated exactly right. We can look back and see how that God allowed him to preach certain sermons at certain places and allowed him and directed him, even though he would preach the token so many times or greater than Solomon is here, always directly to a particular group and a particular congregation that he's preaching to. But when it comes to communion, and he's going to begin his opening phrases, and he begins to look at the greater picture of the ministry and the greater picture of the congregation of that day, and I think it's very suitable to today. Brother Brand begins to say this. He says, now, there's one thing that I want to say just before we start this communion. Is this that I believe that we have seen enough in our day that we live in, that we ought to really give all of our being to God. I believe that's still true right now. We should really serve God. I believe that he has blessed us with the direct answer to the scripture, as Brother Perry gave it a few moments ago, that we're at that time We're not blind. We see that we're here. We've arrived. If he could look at that in 1965 and see the conditions of the world then, how much more should we be able to look? Look at the conditions of where we're at right now in 2015. It is not going to continue on and on and on and on. And we can just continue to just go lackadaisical and just be dilatory about our business. We are living at the moments before the rapture. That's why I believe services like this week is so ultimate important. And we should be very aware that we're in the middle of the vision of God's mind. It is not the mind of a man that we're feeding on, or the mind of ministries that we're feeding on, but we're feeding on the body word of this hour. This is the marriage of the Lamb. God saw you before the foundation of the world. We heard it last night. We have been told over and over who we really are. Understand very quickly, the devil will never agree with who you are. He will never applaud you for being who you are. You must recognize for yourself. And remember this, this is a personal revelation. You must capture this for yourself to know exactly who you are and what your job is and what your purpose is and what your commission is and what your burden should be. Whether you're a young man or a young lady or the oldest person in the building, our job is not done yet. I would like to speak to you this morning on what will you be remembered for. 1 John chapter 1, it says it like this. He begins to write it, and I like the way that he begins to say this. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled. Of the word of life. I want to just ask you a question right there. John also had some critics. John also had a man whispering in his ear. He also had people standing off and making fun of him. He also had the same devil trying to talk to him as well. But he said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and manifested unto us. That which we've seen, declare we unto you, that also which we may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him. And we declare unto you that God is light. And in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The power of memory is an incredible thing. Memory is great. It's almost daunting how much that we can remember, yet sometimes forget. Memory is a record book, a great record book of the events and the experiences and the things that we have learned in our lives and the things that we have went through. Those things begin to mold us in past of what we might be in the future. Things that we have watched, the events, and it has a lot of emotions that would go with it. There's a lot of hurt that sometimes comes. Sometimes memories are very great. Then sometimes memories are very haunting. It's a record book. To a computer program, Every keystroke that goes down on it, there's a record that is kept somewhere in the invisible realm of that keystroke that is there. You might try to hit the delete key and try to dissolve it away, but somewhere in the great realms of the great technical world, that stroke is kept and it is held forever. Maybe you'd like to kind of get rid of that phrase or get rid of that picture or get rid of that story that is there and maybe change it in your life and maybe rewrite some things that would be on the memory board. God also is a record keeper. Since the dawn of time, there's been record keeping that's went on. The days of Adam keeping in the garden, he was a great keeper, and no doubt he had a lot of great days. Incredible days where he felt the presence of the Lord come down and how he enjoyed that presence as it would come. And he would enjoy the breeze and the presence of God as it echoed through the garden. But there would also be memories that would be very difficult of being driven out of the garden. Now, I just kind of went through that quickly. I want to take you past the Garden of Eden now. The devil no doubt wrestled with him many days, bringing to him back good memories and then bringing him very bad memories, going along with his human instrumentality. Sitting here at the end of the Gentile dispensation, you're the sons and daughters of God. There's some incredibly good memories that you have in your life. You can remember when God came down and touched you. Maybe it was in a service and the minister was going a certain way and you were sitting there. Maybe you were a drug addict or you had been involved in a lot of sinful things in your life. Maybe you were just a dead, nominal Christian. Maybe you just came and occupied the pew. And somewhere there was an element of the presence of God that came to your pew. And you knew that you had walked in, and this was more than just a church service. This was more than just somebody talking to you. But somewhere in a supernatural realm, God began to echo to that seed of God that was on the inside of you. And you knew today was going to be the beginning of a journey that would take you the rest of your life. It was more than your mom and daddy's experience. It was more than the preacher's experience. It was more than just an anointing of a Pentecostal realm that come. You were meeting God in that room. From that realm, you will go from many experiences. And in those experiences, you will go through high times and low times. There are times that he will take you down memory channel and will take you back to certain days in your life. Maybe some of those days you wouldn't even want to witness and talk. As I just was so moved by God how that these services would be so pulled together from last night to this morning. How the enemy takes because he has an avenue. He has an avenue to which that he can't go to that soul realm. But he can use your memory channel and the power of recall. And he can take the power of recall and take that old house that you're living in. And though it might have a different dwelling dominion that's going on in the inside of it, it still takes that old house and will take you back through 1010 Alley. And it will begin to move you back down through those. And it may have been 50 years ago. It may have been 50 years ago. But that enemy will constantly bring you back. Because that's the only thing that he can do. You must remember he's limited in his power. But you must remind him. Here's where you've got to come to in your life. You must remind him that there's a new king that is on your heart. There's a new life that is living there. It may look like the same house. It may sound like the same house. But on the inside of you, there's a hidden nature that is there.
there's a different atmosphere that is pumping and sensations out of your life. There's a love affair that is going on. Hallelujah. Now I listen to the prophet of God and 10 virgins. He says, no. He said, finally, when they, as he begins to describe Calvary, he said, finally, when they got him down there one day, they took that rag and put it upon his face. I imagine that old dirty scarf. They folded around his head and sitting there bleeding and hurt. Morning cold wind blowing. They already whipped him and blood running down over his shoulders. They throwed something around him like that, that blood sticking to his back. Sitting there, the crown of thorns pulled down over his face like that. Blood spit from his soldiers all over his face and sitting there. Wasn't that an awful looking sight? Oh, God. You say, well, if I'd have been there, I'd have done something about it. Well, why don't you do something about it now? He says, cause if you'd have done the same thing that you do now, there he was sitting there, mocked and spit on. There's the disciples standing by. Oh, my. Could it have been that man who could call a dead out of a grave and look at him there? But they failed to know the scriptures and what it is, see. And so blood spit on his face. They put a rag around his eyes. And you know, they tell me he had a spiritual discernment. You know, he's a prophet. He could tell people. He told the woman at the well of her sins. He told Simon that his father's name was Jonas. And all about, let's see if he can, what he can do now. They said, well, we'll give him a little trial. That was the devil working in the people. They put a rag over his eyes. And they got a stick and they hit him. And they hit the top of his head. If you're a prophet, tell us who hit you. He never opened his mouth. He just sat there. Satan said, you know that can't be. That can't be God. And that's the same thing that old denomination says today. I want this to be more than a quote. I wonder how many services that we sit in. I wonder how many services that we sit in and fix the tractor. I wonder how many services that we sit in and Satan robs us and we feel like almost a zombie. Maybe we got plans for next week or plans for a vacation and plans for this and we're going to do that in our life. And we're sitting in the most important time that we could sit in. It's been prophesied of this hour. We've seen the visions of this hour. This message is more than about a caribou 42 inches horns and a grizzly bear. Are you with me today? It's more than just a natural event. People want to argue about a cloud in the sky and a bridge. Listen, this message is more than about that. This message is Jesus Christ revealed to the bride of Jesus Christ. And I want to report to you, I met him. I met the voice that is behind the voice. Started up the hill and that robe around him. Only clothes that he ever had, I guess. And he was a man. Martha and Mary fixed him up a little robe. Robe throughout without seam. They put it over his back and there was them little spots on his coat. So he began up the hill dragging, bumping that old cross. And this little frail body going along, them whipping him and everything else, getting him getting on him like that. That cross going bumpity bump, his shoulders rubbing, and he'd stagger and he'd go on. And them little spots got bigger and bigger, till after a while they all come to one big spot. And old Satan come along in the form of a bee. That bee, you know, and said, they says God wouldn't do that. He's just a man. He's just putting on. He still thinks that. He's just putting on. So I'll just sting him. And if he's God, he couldn't die. So I'll sting him and see about it. Like that, I'll give him a try. And we got him on the cross. He socked that stinger in him. But when he did that, he lost his stinger. That was more than a man. You're more than a church. Are you with me now? You're more than a church.
You're more than a gathered group of people. You are the bride of Jesus Christ. You are God's determining vision that He's had through the eons of time. And here you set flesh of flesh, bone of bones, life of life. Hallelujah! This is our hour. We are the final voice to the final age. Paul, when they was building a place to chop his head off, death was sting, was buzzing around him. He said, "Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave." The grave said, "I'll get you, Paul. I'm going to wallow you." I went in and chopped his head off and throwed him over the sewer there. The grave said, "I'll canker your body. I'll rot you away." He said, "Oh, grave, where is your victory?" Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Death has lost its sting. He said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." Are you with me? "I have kept the faith. And from henceforth there is laid up a crown of righteousness that the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day." Let me just say, he was coming to his very end. And this was not the end in his mind. The other day, I visited with Brother Steve from our church. His name is Steve Thomas. He's been there since the 70s. Brother Steve Thomas has been a pillar of our congregation, just like you've got pillars of this congregation, the congregations that's represented. Quiet men that live an everyday overcoming life. ALS began to settle into his body, and that enemy began to take a hold. And Steve would come to church, and he came there for, I think it was about 5 years that he had the condition. Brother Tim preached to him many, many times, and he loved Brother Tim. And he fought with that condition. And it came down to the end, and on a Saturday, Brother Andrew and myself, my son, went to see him. And I told Andrew on the way, I said, "Today I'm going to have a conversation with Brother Steve. It will probably be our last conversation." We talked for a little while. We talked about the joys. We talked about the great things that's happened in life. And we went down through some old times. And then it came to a very sober part of the congregation. I said, "Well, Brother Steve," I said, "I need to talk to you." I said, "Everything that you have believed, everything that you have loved, all the aspirations, the dreams, the visions that we've had is now getting ready to become a reality. Hospice is here. They're putting your bed here. But I just feel like you're not going to need it very long." I said, "You've had a lot of friends that's walked through the door and greeted you and loved you and hugged you and had tears with you and laughed with you, tried to make you feel good. But there's a friend that's getting ready to walk through the door. You've been looking for this friend for a long time, since the 70s. And he's preparing to come through the door. And there's going to be some with him. You're going to recognize them from maybe some of your earlier years. And they're going to be young. And you're going to begin to fellowship with them a little bit. You're going to start talking with them. Now, don't you be afraid, Brother Steve. This is not the end. This is only the doorway that you're getting ready to step through." Listen, as his pastor, I knew. I didn't have a doubt in my mind. I didn't have a thought of telling him we need to repent or we need to pray of something. This man was ready for the journey. About 20 years before that, I had a vision. And in this vision, me and my brother-in-law were walking down the road. A friend of ours, Brother Jim Whitson and Brother Dan Dyer, was walking, and As we're walking down the road, all of us are the same age. And Dan would like to say that he's the same age that we are. And he kind of tries to act that way, but Dan's got a few years on us. But in this vision, he was young. Jim's just a couple years older than myself, but he was the same age that I am. My brother-in-law is somewhere around 7 years older than I am, and he was the same age that I am. And we're just enjoying this day, and we're walking down this place, and we meet Steve on the road. Steve is also a young man. And he's there, and we begin to fellowship, and we begin to talk for a little bit, and he begins to just tell us, isn't it good to fellowship in this presence and eat heavenly manna every day? Well, I shared that vision with Brother Steve about 20 years ago, and you know, I know that people go through their ups and their downs, and sometimes they get in and sometimes they go out, but Steve has never wavered in his walk with God. Sometimes we're thinking, well, I've got to have these great things to happen in my life, or I've got to have that to happen in my life, or that to happen in my life, and I've got to see the pillar of fire every day, or I've got to feel that presence every day. But overcoming is a fresh, everyday experience and a walk with Jesus Christ. Is this all right? Brother Steve looked over at me, and his closing words was, "Brother Ron, you remember that vision you had about 20 years ago?" And I said, "Yes, Brother Steve." He said, "If you'll remember, I was waiting on the road for you boys. And today I'm fulfilling that part of the vision." Sunday night we had service, and Brother Steve wasn't able to come either service. He had been sitting in a wheelchair for months, even sleeping there. And he told them, he said, I believe I'd like to lay down tonight. But here's how I'd like to do it. I'd like to watch a video of Brother Ron preach. And until he comes and gets me in the morning, I want to listen to the prophet of God's voice. He listened to 5 services that night. His wife told him, she said, I believe I need to go take a shower. Turned around to him just before she walked out of the room, and she said, "Now, Steve, I love you, and it's okay for you to go." And while she was in the shower, he took a trip. I hope it's okay for me to just drop this in. We had his funeral. Brother Homer wasn't able to be there, so we videoed, I called Brother Tim and just asked him to pray that Brother Homer would have strength to do that. And we videoed Brother Homer in the rehab center, and he preached for 8 minutes, sitting in a corner in his wheelchair, about what a gallant soldier Brother Steve was. His prayer was that God would come and reveal himself in that funeral to bring evidence to the people that they would see a living Jesus Christ. Now, I know we may have critics that would like to stand and echo a lot of things in our ears, but who are we trying to impress anyway? We had the service, and Brother Andrew began to speak, and you could just feel the sweep of the Holy Spirit as it came in the funeral. And it was very evident that we was not having a funeral service, we was having a celebration. And the presence of God just swept into the building, even to the point to where several people saw the pillar of fire in the congregation and saw it as it moved. And in that presence, there was flowers. As many times, there's flowers that is on the all of the flowers, and they were just all over the front of our church. And because Steve was a very loved individual, there was probably about 350 people that was there at the funeral. And as the bulbs that were not open, In that presence, those bulbs begin to come open. And as I was sitting at the reception later after at a meal, and as I was sitting there, and one by one, people kept coming and telling me, "Did you see that lot? We've never seen nothing like that in our lives. Did you see those flowers? Did you see how that had opened up?" One young man's a very, very wicked young man in his life. He said, "I've never witnessed the power of God like I just witnessed today." I would say that, and I just say that, that just tells us that we have a supernatural God. Jesus turns around to his disciples, the same ones that he's going to have communion with. When we think about communion, Jesus tells them, disciples, he's going to need a room. And in this room, he's going to have a supper. Now, they were very familiar to his to the way that he did things. Maybe he needed a few fish and a few loaves. Maybe just to be able to bless. But they would see 5,000 people eat. Maybe he would spit on the ground and make a little spindle. And he would pick it up and put it in a man's eyes. He operated a little bit different. Maybe he would need a colt, the foal of an ass. And you'll go to a certain place and you'll find it. And you'll tell that man that the master has need of it. There's no need to have a long conversation with him, because God's going to work on that end as well. And he's going to send you. Today I'm going to ride into Jerusalem. Today I'm going to allow a public celebration going on. I have need of a room. And you're going to find a man that's got a pitcher of water. Follow that man, and he's going to go into a house, and he's going to have a room. Listen, it was not something that they had to reason out. So many people want to reason things and try to logically figure out everything. You've got to walk by faith. You got to walk by faith, and this is a faith walk. Are you with me? I hope you can stay with me just for a few minutes. And they walk with Jesus, and they watch that man with the picture. There he is. They watched him as he moved into the house. And as he moved into the house, they followed him in the house. Do you have a room? Yes, I have a room. This is a place that you can have the supper. But they did not realize they were in the fulfilling of the scriptures. They were in the most crucial hours that they could be in. That Jesus was having his last meal with these disciples. And these were going to be anchoring times in their life. They may live years later, but they can look back at this service. They can look back at this service and think about being in his presence. And remember this moment. Some of these men are going to be drugged through the streets. Some of their heads are going to be cut off. Some of them are going to be run through a spear. Some of them are going to be boiled with oil. But you can't boil God out of a man. You can threaten them with death. You can threaten them with trouble. But you can't take this supernatural God out of a man and woman's life. Sometimes we read in the scriptures and it becomes kind of historical to us. We can read in the scriptures, like in Hebrews chapter 11. We can read where now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now in this report, God's not going to give a 60-year or a 300-year or a 500-year testimony. He might take a man's life and his entire life, and only mention his whole life in a short sentence. In just an extremely short sentence. Now, I'd like to look at it just for a moment. When God testifies, he not only testifies to the angels and to the believers, But he also testifies to the enemy. So I'd like to just, if I could just have the liberty for a few moments after I built this platform, I'd like to just have a testimony service. Now the scripture says, now Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And almost very quickly he goes, Paul begins to go to the next one. And by faith, Enoch was translated. It was not Enoch and his wife. It was not Enoch and his family. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. I want you to understand, he had a faith walk that he pleased God. It didn't matter that he didn't please anybody else in the world, but he so walked with God. I'm 100% assured that he probably never felt he was perfect in his life. I'm absolutely positive that there was no day that he ever felt like he was perfect. I want to say this to you, even myself. I kind of even wonder as I made the long walk over here this morning and Timothy didn't come get me. As I walked over here this morning, I was thinking, wonder why even these people would want to hear me this morning. Brother Branham tells about a man that had quite a snarl voice and he had a whine in his voice and you know, people even made fun of him as he preached. You know, as ministers, we have a very difficult job. We get into the presence of the Lord, and we just want to share what God has put in our heart. And we have the difficult job of getting ourselves out of the way, even knowing ourselves, but we have the difficult job of getting ourselves out of the way. And if we have any gifts at all, the greatest gift that we would have is to get ourselves out of the way. It would be easy if we could stand behind of a black curtain and you know, have a voice to where that, you know, you couldn't tell whose voice that it was. But God didn't do it like that. It wasn't through singing that salvation would come. It's through preaching. And sometimes that minister, he has to get under the unction of the Holy Ghost. And this is more than just an intellectual service. And he's got to do more than just teach. And all of that is important and it's fine. But it's got to be life that is translated through the voice. There's got to be a voice behind the voice. That man must meet God on those great sacred sands of time. And he must meet the author of this book. Now, Feeney was a great lawyer. But Feeney knew God in an intellectual way. But he knew that there had to be more. One day he was out behind his law practice and he was down praying. And two women walked by and he jumped up real quickly. He was very much ashamed. The Spirit of God quickened on the inside of him about who you were trying to please. I think sometimes we sit in services quite like that. If we're not careful, we'll fold our arms and we'll sit there almost dead, afraid to move in. And we're afraid to get in the Spirit. And let me just say, as John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll be like the disciples. We'll miss certain things that are going on and they're very incredible visions that are happening. And we're so consumed with the circumstances that are going on along around us. We're so busy with our lifestyle until we'll miss what God is doing. And Feeney was consumed with everybody around him. And he was missing what God was wanting to do in his life. He would begin to pray and the presence of God would come. And he was filled with the Spirit of the Lord. When Brother Branham goes back and picks up Feeney in the great record of life, he will do like Paul does, by faith Enoch. And he picked out Enoch. Paul picks out Enoch as a certain individual to remember. He had a faith walk. Then by faith, Abraham. And if you'll notice, under the new covenant, Paul does not go back and pick up Abraham laughed at on the lay rolled on the ground. He did not go back and pick up that Abraham had mistakes and he lied and he gave his wife away and he made an incredible mistake and then Isaac did the very same thing. He doesn't pick up his mistakes. Aren't you glad that God doesn't see your mistakes? Hallelujah. That doesn't give us a license to sin. But by grace, we can overcome those things and bring them to the blood of Jesus Christ and to the altar of sacrifice. Feeney could have stayed a lawyer. He could have stayed a lawyer and just been content as being a lawyer. Been content as wrestling out law degrees and wrestling out stories of the old libraries and wrestling out and maybe serving God on the side. Maybe just serving God out of convenience. But when he gave his heart to God, he recognized the burden for his life. Now, Feeney was not a good speaker, we might say. He had an extremely whine in his voice. Brother Branham would approach it, and in his presence, newspaper writers would come out and say, who would want to come and hear Feeney? Who would want to come and see Feeney? And so they would even get word back to him. Now, you know the humanity part of us all. We look as ministers like we're the poorest preacher on the field. God allows that for us so we don't get a big head. So that we don't think that we're something. Because God needs us to get ourselves out of the way. Now, that's not just for preachers. Hallelujah. Every one of us have an insatiable desire for more of God here in this service. I have a desire that I can have more of Him today than I've ever had in my life. Something I'd like to capture from in his presence. The prophet of God said that when Feeney preached, men would drop their lunch boxes 5 miles away and give their heart to Jesus Christ. I would just like for it to get to the, I'd be satisfied if it just got to the back of the building. I'd be satisfied if every person in the building felt the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read about men like Moody. The prophet of God would talk about Moody. He would also link it to another story about a little woman. A little woman that had a desire that there would be a revival. And in this desire that there would be a revival where she was at, she was praying. She was a washwoman, and she was praying that there would come a revival that would be there. She didn't go to the biggest church in the city, but something moved on the inside of her that she'd clean out a barn. She cleaned this barn out, and as she cleaned this barn out, there's a lot of things in the barn that you'd need to clean out that wouldn't be real good. She'd clean this barn out and she would have a preacher. And this preacher was an older man. And he would come and preach. Now to the normal human being, you would think that this wasn't a very successful revival. Because after a few weeks, only one convert came to the Lord. And that one convert was a little boy. He had real raggedy clothes on and his hair was real shaggy. And he gave his heart to the Lord. Not a doubt in my mind that the old man would probably walk away from that meeting going, well, didn't much happen here. Maybe the little lady would not be satisfied in the life of what happened. And You know, it was only one little boy, but that one little boy was moody. Now, you know, it doesn't tell all those things in the history books. You can't find that on the Google and the Yahoo. You can't find that story. But a prophet of God would go back in God's history book and pick it up. He would go and grab a hold of it. Are you with me now? Well, Brother Ron, you know we need proof. We got to have absolutely everything's got to be right. In the Old Testament, let me just go back here just for a moment. In the Old Testament, Moses had two enemies. And these two men withstood Moses. And they stood before Moses and challenged Moses. Nowhere do you find it written down of what their names was. But when it came to the New Testament, God remembered their names. Oh, hallelujah. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, God has a memory. Sometimes names are very powerful. David is a name that recognizes great power that went with it. We can think about all of his failures, but we can also think about all of his victories, even to which that his name would be synonymous with the Son of David. This man would echo great thoughts of history and great thoughts of faith and great thoughts of gallantry. He would be associated with gathering all the materials and bringing forth one of the greatest temples that would ever be built in the history of the world. And it would come from all over the world. Just his name and the call of his name brings up the memory of that one man. The name of Moses is more than Cecil DeMille's Moses. But Moses was literally had the attributes of God living on the inside of him. Sure, we can talk about all of his failures and how he was a murderer, how he had a high temper, how he got discouraged, how he got out of from under the anointing of God. But when God was upon him, he was God's mouthpiece to a nation. Are you with me tonight? The name Jezebel, you don't even have to preach a sermon on it, but just the name Jezebel, her name echoes out thoughts. And if you have any biblical knowledge at all, you immediately begin to think about how that she dressed and how that she did her hair, how that she painted her faces, how that she rose up prophets unto her liking, how that she withstood Elijah, the prophet of the Lord, and refused. Are you with me now? And she stood there and she refused what Elijah had to say. And then you can immediately go to how the dogs licking her blood. Memory. Jesus talking about our day. Jesus talking about our day. Rapture. Two in the bed, one will be taken, one will be left. Two in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Two at the meal, one will be taken, one will be left. Well, I live in that day. Now, I don't know particularly what they're going to do with my house and my car and my dog and my horse, but I'm not going to have a need for those things anymore. You see, I live in a day to where this mortal is going to take on immortality. And I've heard a message that has prepared me for that event to take place. And this message is moving me day by day by day into that hour. And I'm watching events and signs and everything take place around me. Jesus is beginning to speak. And in the same scriptures that he's going to talk about rapture, he's going to talk about as it was in the days of Noah. Now, Noah was not an architect. Neither was he an engineer. Neither was he was a great builder. As a matter of fact, he was a farmer. As far as ability, he had very little, but he knew how to talk to God. The conditions of the age was more than even he could stand. And I would imagine on most days he would almost vomit at everything that was going on around him. What a horrible hour that he lived in. You know, it's not chapters we're going to deal with, but it's just a couple of scriptures God dealt with him. That Noah found grace in the eyes of God. I would like for it to be said that I found grace. Sure, Russia's in her place, and the Pope is in his place, and Middle East is in their place. But I'd like for it to be said, Ron Spencer, Jonathan, Tim Pruitt, are you with me? Put your name in the spot. Are you with me now? I was in my place. Let others be in their place. Let others do what they want to do. But I was in my place. Hallelujah. I was spot on key. I was on the mark. I was right with the script. I'm not adding to the script. I'm right with the script. I want to say just what he said. I want to do just what he wants me to do. Noah came home and he had a conversation with his family. God spoke to me today. God spoke to me. I would say that it was probably, it took him quite a while to just get a grip of God's voice speaking to him. Because the sacredness of a service, the sacredness of a sermon, the sacredness of his presence is more than humanity can explain. He began to give a message, first of all, to his family. This world as we know it is getting ready to come to an end. The cities that are around us, they're not going to be here anymore. The farms that we're next to, they're not going to be here anymore. God has repented that he even made man. He's repented that he even made man. And the burden of the message was more than he could keep in his house. And he began to witness and testify and now preach it to the world. And he began to work. He got under the burden of the message. He got under the burden of the message. He got under the burden of the word. And he began to build. And everybody else was saying, it's never rained. It's never been a flood. There's no water up there to come down. We've sent Sputniks up and we've done all of this and we've done all that. Are you the only man that God can speak to? Now Moses didn't have to argue with everybody. He just had to do what God told him to do. It was not his job to satisfy the mayor of the city or the president of the United States of America. It was not his job to please the military mounts. It was not his job to satisfy the scientific community. It was his job to build an ark. It was his job to preach, whether there was an amen in the building or whether it wasn't an amen in the building. It was his job to deliver the burden of the message of the hour and to deliver it with all of his heart and then challenge them, will you get on the ark with me? It's more than just helping me on the ark. It's more than just painting the ark. It's more than just laying out the ark. It's getting on the ark. How many services did the prophet of God walk to the pulpit with page after page of notes, knowing that some of the friends that were behind him would not be friends at the end of this service? Some of their denominational systems was tying them up, and they were bound by filters of denomination and filters of ideology, and they refused to hear the message of the hour. But thanks be to God, there was something on the inside of us. When we heard it, it just made sense to us. Brother Ron, I'm a young man. I don't know for sure what some of your journey will be like. I don't know if you'll preach 88,000 sermons like John Wesley did. I don't know if you as a young lady will lead a revival like John Wesley's mother did. I don't know. But all I know is that God has a work for you to do. He has a work for you to do. I've heard Brother Wayne's testimony of what he used to be in his life. It's quite a testimony. But he could have stayed in that realm. Some of you got some history that's been written in your book, and you could have stayed there. But something on the inside of you began to work. Now the enemy would like to remind you, no matter how long you're down the road, he'd like to remind you of your gutter life. And after a while, after you've served the Lord a little while, you'll get to a spot, if you're not careful, you'll become complacent. In this complacency, you'll forget what the revival of life is all about and how precious life really is, how precious this word is, how important this service is. I'd like to remind you today that the job isn't done. Is this all right? As I thought about this service that I'm to speak, the first morning speaker, I want to remind you today that the job isn't done. Yes, Sodom is all around us. They don't know who to marry and what to marry and how to marry. Yes, when you go to Walmart, it's infected. The whole society has become insane. Congregations have fell away from God. They've become dead and they've adopted all different kind of programs. People's dresses begin to deteriorate. As you look around, people's dress has deteriorated to the spot that they don't know what real Christian conduct is even like. People have become insane. They don't know what's right and what's wrong. Even some of our good denominational friends have begun to blur what is really right and what is really wrong. It's the blinding delusion of Satan that has came amongst the congregations. But there is light. You may be the only one on your street. You may be the only one on your job. You might be the only one in your school. But I want to ask you this morning, what will you be remembered for? We know Noah, Abraham, Jezebel. But even in the midst of two in the bed, one will be taken, one will be left, Jesus mentions one. Remember Lot's wife. Of all of the book of the Old Testament, Jesus would pick out one woman in the rapture series. He'd pick out one woman and call her specifically by name. She was consumed with Sodom. She was consumed with everything that was around. Even though God sent a message to her home, literally the angels of the Lord came literally to her house. Let's just say this. She didn't need a vision. She didn't need 1,100 tapes. She had two physical angels of the Lord that came to her house. To draw her out. We could say this. You are what you are. We could say whatever your seed is, that's the way it will be. But so too, the enemy would like to come and wrestle with your mind. We sometimes think it's they and this and that. But you remember, this is a personal rapture. This is you and God. It's not you and your congregation. This is you and God. But God in His pre-planning. Can you give me just a few more minutes? God in His infinite pre-planning. Knowing what hour that Adam would come. That was exactly right on chart. what hour that Abraham would come. It was exactly chronologically right. Exactly when Moses would come. And Moses would not preach Noah's message. And Noah could not preach Moses' message. He knew when David and Solomon, Jeremiah and Nahum, all of them would come. He also knew when you would arrive. God pre-planned your arrival. He knew that you'd live in this day. He knew that you would capture the message of this hour. Now, let me just say this to you. If we're not careful, we'll allow the tapes in our home to be dull. And the news will become more important. And Facebook will become more important. And the things of the world will become more important. And before long, the voice of the prophet is not played. Am I still on? Is this microphone still on? And it is more important than anything that Fox News has. There's no rapturing faith on Fox News or ESPN or in any of those things. There's no rapturing faith in that. Are you with me? This message is for you to listen to and to grab a hold of and become in tune with it. And as your minister walks to the pulpit under that same inspiration of that word and he begins to deliver it, then you grab a hold of it and you're praying for that service and you become anointed under that service. Oh, the revival's for yesteryear. I got news for you today. Right here is where the revival is going on. This is my revival. In the Welch Revival, we read about there was a group of ministers that were critics that showed up at the Welch Revival, and they were wanting to go and kind of put the flames out. And as they were trying to put the flames out, they met a policeman on the street, and he was all excited, and he was all happy. And they asked him, "Where is the Welch Revival?" And he said, "You have arrived. I am the Welch Revival. Where's the Bright Revival at? You have arrived." Hallelujah. Is this all right? Now, let me just go back. Because if we're not careful, we'll forget that this is a supernatural gospel. And the enemy, through all of this call, will try to wear you out, make zombies out of you. Then when you come to church, it's just sit and listen. Well, I'd like to take you back maybe to some of your former years when you may have went to a ball game. Now, I hope I don't get in trouble here. Maybe you went to the ball game, and in the ball game, they got cheerleaders, and then there's... You take sides. You're either going to be for one side or you're going to be for another. And people, when they get to a ball game, they sit there and they just don't look. When I was a younger man, I've seen people take their shirts off in zero weather. I've seen people scream and knock and frail. When I was a boy, I went to a boxing match. It was on the recorder. I was a boy then, and I went there, and there was more fights in the audience than it was on the screen. I watched a man throw a man all the way down a balcony and throw him and scream, and he was hollering, and I saw just multiple fights all over the buildings because they got in the spirit of it. I'm afraid sometimes we allow ourselves to sit on a pew. We allow ourselves to come to church and we think that we're just here to absorb, but we're here to get in the spirit of it. And if we're not careful, we want it to be entertainment. Maybe it's that The choir is singing and they've got their high octaves and all their talents. But listen, a song is more than a song. It is preparation to get you ready for the sermon. Are you with me? And a sermon has just been delivered. That director has got him get in the spirit of the composer. And that minister, as he begins to get in the spirit of what God wants for this day and this hour, he begins to get excited. Now, I want to just make sure I got this right. Aaron is going to a birthing chamber to where there's a room that is set up. And in this room, they're preparing for life to come. It's been somewhere around 9 months. There's been preparations made. As a matter of fact, there's an evidence that something's going on. Sister Liddy, thank God, I'm not going to go where Brother Dwayne did last night, but Sister Liddy is, she's going to lose weight literally within the next few hours. Some of us are not. This baby's real. Now, if life don't come forth, there's going to be a lot of disappointments. I would say, even in our churches, if life don't come forth, there's a lot of disappointments. We appreciate people sitting in pews, and we appreciate people's attendance at church, and we appreciate the nods and the echoes and the good feelings. But we've come here to do more than just build a church. We got to have life. My father-in-law the other day, a psychologist was in his room and his leg was to be taken off, and she came in and she ran me out of the room and my son out of the room, and Connie and Nancy was coming, and she walked in, she pulled up a chair, and I heard her opening words. She said, "I'm going to talk to you today about depression." And I thought, well, I'm not going to go very far because I want to hear his answer. And she began to talk to him about thoughts of suicide and thoughts of deep, dark hours and thoughts of all of those things. And she went on for about 10 minutes on how depression reacts and how all of those things happen in your life. Now, here's a man that's been opened up from here to here, all the way up his back. His leg is about ready to be taken off. His whole life has changed. She's going down this line, and I told Andrew, I said, "This is going to be good. This is going to be good. This old gal has walked into a lot of people, but she has never had one like she's getting ready to get." And he said, "Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Since I met Jesus, and he came and he took away all my sins, and I was raised in a bootlegger's family. I was raised poor. But when I met Jesus, he took away all of those feelings." And he started preaching to her about baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and a living God. And he began to talk to her and he began to echo to her. He started just singing. He just broke out into a song. Hallelujah. What do you want to be remembered for? What do you want to be remembered for? Personally, I don't want to be remembered for what house I live in. I don't want to be remembered for what job that I had in my life. I could care less if my name is ever in the who's who. I could care less about those things. But I want to be remembered by God. When the devil comes and tells him, listen, God, do you remember when Ron was this? Or when you remember when God was that?
Let me just listen back to God give testimony. You may remember when Ron was a drunk, and you may remember when he was a dope addict, but I don't remember that Ron. My sins are gone. I've been set free. Hallelujah. They're gone. Can I go to just one more character this morning? He would be called the youngest martyr. First martyr. He had no peers to look around and see other than Jesus. But all he knew was this message was true. He couldn't scientifically figure it all out either. But he just knew that this Jesus was the Christ. He just knew that he was more than a man. He just knew that everything about him was right. He didn't have to doubt Mary's testimony. She didn't need 100 people around her to... She just simply believed and... He believed that she did meet an angel of the Lord. And he paid absolutely no attention to the rumors. We don't know exactly how that Stephen caught it. But he caught it. And the scripture said that he was full of the Holy Ghost. That was more than he knowed all the Old Testament and had its all dots and lines, but he had met God. He had met the very life of God, and he was so intoxicated by the holy presence of God until there was nothing that the devil could do to shut him up. Now, he had been arrested, but that didn't quieten him down. He had been arrested by a man named Saul, and Saul was very vicious, and he was trying to put this message out with everything that was within him. And Stephen was brought before a court. Now, this would be a time to where that he could quit and go home. He could renounce and say that, you know, maybe I'm just wrong. Maybe I should do something different. Or I could stand and give real testimony today. Today is my turn. So as he looked at all of these men that were ready to nail him and turn this message upside down, he stood there, not with 100 men with him, by himself. He started preaching. He began to preach, and he went all the way back to Moses. And he began to come up through the Old Testament. And then he come to this living Jesus Christ. And he began to witness, I've met him. Listen, there's something on the inside of our voices. Whether you're a man or woman or boy or girl, once you meet him, can I say it to you this morning? This may be a real simple sermon, but I want to say this to you. Once you meet him, there's no going back. Never going back. It's not even in my mind. I'm never going back. I've got a job to do. However long that I've got left in my life, I want this passion in my life. Now, can I just bring it to this point? Noah knew eventually he was coming to his last sermons. It would be hard to imagine somewhere in your mind knowing today's the last sermon that you'll ever preach. The city will be washed away in a few days. Your friends will be gone. And life as you know it will never, ever be the same. And so as you step to the pulpit this morning, and there's things that you can't explain how it's all going on.
But after all the work is done and now animals are coming in, you just can't put it all together for yourself, but you just know. You just know that you don't have a lot of services left to preach. And he's standing there and he's echoing it with all of his heart. It's going to rain. Regardless of their scoffers saying, we've heard it for years. He's screaming with all of his voice, it's going to rain. Stephen knows today is the last time I'll testify again. Because he knows I'm not going back. He knows at the end of this service, I'm going to die. I'm going to die at the end of this service. And he gives it everything that he's got. You can see it in his eyes. You can sense it in his spirit. You can hear it in his voice. Are you with me? Are you with me? These services are not for naught. God has designed these services of all the preachers of the whole world down through the history of time, of all the people of the whole world down through the history of time. God has assembled you to sit in these services, to hear the word of the hour from last night to the last sermon that will be preached here. God has a determination. There will be people that will overcome in this hour. They will be the final voice. And I want to echo it. They will have the final say. Now, I want to just take this thought for a second. Because I'm 100% sure that there's an enemy listening in. I don't care what you thought of Noah. And I don't care what your opinion was of him. And I don't care what you said about your family suppers. When there's water up to your neck, you don't need another quote. Oh, I can feel you now. When I look at bubble cars that can be driving by themselves, and I can hear the echoes of even the scientists tell us, when will Los Angeles happen? Even Hollywood's getting on the deal with San Andreas, and the Pope is doing his job, and Russia's doing her job, and the Middle East is doing their job. We have read tomorrow's newspaper. We have read it. And we realize that we're living out the last hours. We realize that we're here. We will plant potatoes. We will build buildings. We will preach the gospel. We will do it with all of our energies, not half-heartedly, not just when it's convenient, not dilatory. I refuse to come to church and say, well, this is just another service. I want everything that this service has for me. I want to put my whole heart into it. I refuse to sit still. I refuse to sit quietly. I want to stand like I've never stood before in my life. We're preaching at a place where a man named Buddy Robinson preached at. He stood somewhere in this vicinity, somewhere in these buildings, anointed for the job of his day. Now we read about somewhere that he drawed a circle. He was tired of haphazard living, tired of just going through the run of the mill. He was tired of defeat and keep going back to the same spot. And he had come to a spot in his life that he wanted to draw a circle. And he said, God, if you don't give me the Holy Ghost, when you come back, this will be the place where you find my bones. Listen, I would pray today that there would be some circles drawn. If you get nothing out of this service, I would pray that today, I don't care how long you've been in church, we're not serving a God of yesterday or what I have done or someday it's going to happen. What about today? What about bringing Jesus a fresh drink of water today? Well, I'm going to let somebody else praise the Lord. I'm going to let somebody else get emotional. You people are hard to quit preaching to. I understand why Tim preaches 3 hours. We had a funeral service. With an organizational speaker. A lady in our church had died. And she was quite a wonderful lady. She had family that was very dignified people. And so the funeral would come. And so the pastor of the organizational church, he came to Brother Homer and said, "Now, Brother Frazier, I want to just tell you this with respect, and I don't want to hurt your feelings, but the family doesn't want you to get, you know, emotional. They don't want you to get emotional." He said, "I'll do my best. I'll do my best." So he said, "Well, you know, kind of how, since you're kind of seeing the things," he said, "why don't you go first? You do your part first." So that man probably hadn't been around as long as he thought he had, so he went first and left Brother Homer to come second. I think you'll enjoy this, is the reason I want to share it with you. So that man did his job, and after he was done saying all of his dignified words, Brother Homer started, and after a while, he said, "You know, I've been asked this morning to kind of behave myself." He said, "I've been asked to not get excited. I guess that's what you're wanting me not to do. But this lady that's in front here, just the other night, she was shouting in church. She was not ashamed. And he said, since I met Jesus, I have been excited since I met him." Let me just say this to you. People can get excited at a ball game because of a home run. They can get excited at a tennis match or a hockey game. Or they can get excited at a political contest. A place where sitting 80,000 people know that they're going to get lied to. They know that guy running for president is only lying. People will get excited about the weather and knowing that they're only going to be 17% right. We ought to be the most excited people on the earth. Hallelujah. We ought to be the most excited people there is. Let us be glad and rejoice.
for the Lamb's wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. Listen, we are that people. Brother Doug, it's more than a bear. It's more than a caribou. It's more than a car. It's more than a bridge. This is life.
Every one of us somewhere's got a history book written about us. Somewhere there's some great records that have went down. But also, every one of us has only got 24 hours in a day. So I'm going to challenge you just now. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? Young men, jobs are important. But that's not the most important thing that there is. Young ladies, all of those things are important. But that's not the most important thing that there is. Moms and dads, it's good to have a house and a car and whatever else you got. Those things have got to be in your lives. But that's not the most important thing that there is. May this word be the most important thing that there is in your home, in your church, in your life. And when you take your position in the pews, you have arrived at your spot. And I'm finishing with this, I promise. I live in Civil War country. It's a place where Stonewall Jackson came from. One of his headquarters is just literally within a mile of our church. He would address many soldiers, talk about Joshua's battles. Some of those young men had left homes, farms, families. And today would be the last day of their life. They was marching for a cause. And they were willing to lay their life down. And as they loaded their guns and prepared for today, they did not know how this day would end. Some of them would lose arms or legs or even their own life. But they were willing to march forward. They were willing to stand shoulder to shoulder for the cause of the army that they were in. Veterans Day is more than just Veterans Day. Can I say this to you? We stand shoulder to shoulder. This is the greatest battle that has ever been fought. But you have been designed to overcome. God sent His best. What will you be remembered for? Almighty God, we can read of Joseph, Moses, even Lot's wife, Jezebel. We can read of all of the others of the scriptures, but this is our day. What are we doing with this message? What are we doing with our services? What are we doing with our hour? Oh God, create a passion in our hearts like never before. Oh God, a burden like never before, Father. May it just be more than ministers standing and screaming in the pulpit and sweating. But may it be a life that's lived. Lord, may it live in every father, every mother, every young man, every young girl, every gray hair, Father. Lord, what are we doing with our life even right now? It's a vapor and it passes so quickly. Lord, I could care less if I'm remembered for the house that I live in or where I live or what is going on. Lord, I want you to have your will and way in my life. Today we surrender our lives again. Lord, as you spoke to my heart to deliver this word this morning, maybe there's a young man or a young woman that is here today, maybe a young married couple that don't have a vision for their life. Would you speak to them, Father? Oh, God. Others have run. Others put it all on the line. What about us? We heard last night of how to dig the logs out of our lives. Go down and do a deep repentance and get everything cleaned out. But God, you've got a purpose for us to do. May we never lose the vision for purpose in our life. Not just as an individual, not just as a family, but for a church as a unified body. Oh God, help us today, Father. We have a cause. We have a commission. Lord, minister to our hearts today. Lord, if a revival fire is not burning in our lives, may we draw a circle today. May we not be satisfied until you come and meet us. Oh, God. God, no matter how long that we've sat in a pew, maybe we've sat here for decades and just missed it. God, stir us today. Stir us today, Father. Minister to our lives. Come just now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you. Hallelujah. With our heads bowed just a moment. Maybe sitting there this morning, you'd just like to say, Brother Ron, I just needed to be stirred. I just needed the vision to become real in my life. I'd like for you to pray for me this morning. Yes. Yes. I've took my eyes off of the ball. I've got somewhere spiritual amnesia going on in my life. I forgot. I've let other things get in my way.
A little bit.
Oh God.
Maybe we've allowed a few things to creep up in our lives and it's kind of choked the life out of us. Choked maybe our joy away a little bit. We've allowed troubles, just the busyness of life. Oh God. Lord, here we stand this morning. Come and minister to our hearts, Lord.
We ask you to forgive us, Lord. Lord, come and speak to us today in the name of Jesus Christ. Won't you just talk to him just now? Won't you just raise your hands and just say, Lord, come to where I'm standing at right now. Lord, I want to serve you like never before in my life. I don't want to waste a day. I don't want to waste an hour. I don't want to waste a minute. About my brother or my sisters, it's about me right now. Hallelujah. Come, touch my heart right here. Men of God, ladies of God, today, let him come and touch your heart today. Nobody can take your place. Let him speak to you today.
I give myself away so you
Vessel. Come live in me. Come work through me. Come manifest your glory in my life. When I stand on that day, I want to be remembered. I want to be remembered as a man who stood in his generation. That even as a young boy, did not get pulled by the world this way or that way, but stood for God in his generation. Stood for righteousness, stood for truth. Lived for God, surrendered a life. The rest of it won't really matter. Because it's what is done for Him that will last. Remember, do this in remembrance of me. We remember Him. We remember Him who gave His all. We remember Him who defeated death, hell, and the grave. We remember Him that rose up again on the third day, ascended into glory. We remember Him as He came back to come and dwell in us. Oh, I remember that day. I remember when He changed me. I remember when He made a different man out of me. Amen, that my life is not the same. I belong to Him. I remember that day that a new king come to sit down on my throne. I remember when then my flesh, this lion, had to lay down by the lamb. Amen. As a new king there brought a peace and a rest within my soul. I remember. Amen. I remember where He changed me, made me into a son of God, made me to know who Father was. That I'm not just a temple being, but I come from God and I'm going back to God. I remember where He showed me my purpose in life. Amen. That I'm called for a higher calling than just living out a life here upon the earth. Because I'm not a temporary being. I'm an eternal being. Amen. God bless you, church. God bless you that is assembled together with us today, and some of you that have just joined us. Amen. God bless you, ministers that are here. We appreciate you very much. We're going to have in the lodge down here, the main lodge right across from the office at 3:00. If you're a minister and you'd like to join us, we're just going to have a little time of fellowship there. That'll be at 3:00. The main lodge there across from the office. You'd like to join us there. We're just going to have a little time of fellowship together with the ministers. Talk about the good things of God. Amen. It's a good time to get together. Fellowship with the Lord. Amen. And I would like to also announce the addition to my family that was born during the service today. Jackson Grant Oglesby. 8 pounds, 11 ounces. Healthy. Well, God bless him. Amen. Welcome, little Jackson. Amen. 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 Appreciate the Lord and His goodness to us. Amen. His mercy endures forever. Amen. We're going to be going to lunch here in the cafeteria. Before we do, let's just bow our heads together. Father, we want to thank You for this service today. Lord, our minds have been and hearts have been taken many places, dealt with many scenes, many others that has inspired us. We were inspired, Lord, by others who have went on before us. We remember their testimony. We remember they stood for You, O God. We remember their message. We remember Noah. We remember men like Stephen, Paul. Lord, we remember the And now it's our turn to stand in our generation. Now, Lord, we are coming to the last moment, to the last hour, to the last day. And you've called a people to be an overcomer in this hour. You called a people who will stand for God in their generation. Others stood in their day, but we have been called to run the last lap of the race. I pray, oh God, that every person with determination will say, I want to put my whole heart into this. I want to serve God with everything that I have. I want to make a full surrender. Lord, we can see the testimonies of others where they stood, where they loved you, where they served you. But now, Lord, with what we have of our lives, we want to give it to you. We want to, everything that we've even held back, we want to give that to you. We want to make a full surrender. Give our all to you, Father. Now, Father, for the food that's physically provided, Lord, we ask that you would bless it now and make it nourishment. Give us strength now for this part of the journey. We thank you for life. We thank you for births. We thank you for the birth of this child that we're speaking of, my little grandson that was just born during the meeting. I pray, Lord, your blessings will be upon him, his family, mom and dad, and all the extended family. Lord, may your grace just continue to shine upon us as we move toward the finish line. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we go, God is good all the time. Amen. God is good all the time.